Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Today, we're going to conclude this teaching series, this message series, which is titled Mind Games. And we've been talking about this battle that goes on in our minds, this battle between negative thinking and positive thinking. And so I'm going to do a quick recap so far of what we've talked about. And that is, we've talked about what we've learned so far is that most of life's battles are either won or lost in the mind. And that it's impossible to have a positive life if we have negative thinking. If you want to have a positive life, you have to have positive thinking. And we also learned that we all battle with negative thinking. This is not something that any of us are exempt from. All of us deal with this. It seems like the mind naturally goes to this place of negative thinking. It's like negative thinking, it's the default. And there's a reason why that is. And so throughout the series, we've been looking at some things when it comes to the actual brain itself and how it works and how it functions. We've also been looking at scripture to help to understand how our brain operates. And so this battle between negative thinking and positive thinking is a real battle in our minds. You know, we worry that because of the negative thinking that we battle with and that we deal with, you know, so often as we worry that maybe, you know, when our minds go to this negative place, we worry that maybe we're not going to get the job that we've been trying to get. And if we don't get the job that we're trying to get, then maybe we're not going to get that, you know, the financial situation that we're trying to reach. You know, so often we're trying to get that job and trying to get that next promotion or whatever that might be. And, you know, that's for, you know, for multiple reasons. But one of the reasons is because we're trying to increase our financial situation. And we feel like, man, we're never going to get that job. And because we're never going to get that job, we're never going to reach the financial place, you know, that we want to be in. And so, you know, sometimes for those of us that are married, we worry that, you know, our marriages are never going to get better because, you know, and because it's never going to get better, you know, we're going to live the rest of our lives in misery and die this miserable person, you know, or we're going to end up one day in divorce, which is something that we don't want to do. Or maybe we worry about, you know, never being able to escape our past. You know, a lot of us have a past, you know, that is not necessarily a really bright past. And sometimes our past creeps its head up during our present life, and it tends to hold us back from certain things. And sometimes maybe we worry about that we're never going to escape our past and, you know, that the template for our life is already set. So there's no way out of it. You know, our mind, it takes us to these places that causes us to make these wrong decisions. It takes us to this negative place. It takes us down this dark road, this dark path. And we try our best to not go down the dark road when it comes to our thinking, but we try to go to the light road. We try to go to where things are bright and things are positive and things are uplifting, but we tend to go to this dark place in our thinking all the time. Our mind takes us in the wrong direction too many times. And, you know, we get filled with anxiety and we get overwhelmed with the issues of life and with negative thinking. You know, with all the issues of life that we deal with on a regular, it just causes us to just, you know, have this mind that's filled with so much negative thinking. You know, we've been looking at the Apostle Paul since the very beginning and using his life as an example on how we can deal with negative thinking. You know, Paul, he's the scriptures that I'm going to be talking about today, which I actually talked about last week, or actually the book that I talked about was the book of Philippians. And we're going to stay in Philippians today. And here in this situation, Paul is locked up. We talked about him being locked up last week. He's locked up in prison and he's waiting his execution. He's been actually sentenced to be executed. So he's locked up in prison. He's waiting his execution. So while he's waiting for his execution, this is what he writes in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 8. He says, "Do not be anxious. Do not worry. Do not be at unease. Do not be nervous about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and supplication, asking and begging with humility, with thanksgiving in your heart, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your what? And your minds." It Amen. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to say a prayer right now, and then we're going to continue on with the message. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for all things. We give you honor and praise for all things. I thank you, Father, for another beautiful, sunny Sunday morning here in the city of Memphis. And whatever the weather is in other places where our viewers are on here with us now, we just thank you for whatever weather situation that they have. But today we all are here and we just thank you for that. Lord, we ask you to take this message, Father, and we ask you to plant it deep into our hearts and our minds so we can understand and so we can know the tools that we need, Father, scientifically and scripturally to help us to guard our hearts and to guard our minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So with that being said, the title of today's message is called Peace of Mind. We need peace of mind. You know, we have situations in our lives and we deal with the issues of life. And one of the things that's so hard sometimes in different situations is to have a peace of mind. You know, we hear people say, and we've heard ministers and teachers in the church, teachers of the Bible talk all the time about, you know, being in the middle of a storm, but still being at peace. And, you know, it sounds good. It looks good, smells good, tastes good. But when you're actually in that situation, it is a hard thing to do. At least we find it hard to do it. In actuality, it may not be as hard as we think it is, or it may not be as hard as we make it to be. But when we find ourselves in that place, it just seems like it's so hard to have that peace of mind. No matter the situation that in life that we deal with, we need to have peace of mind. Remember in the beginning, I said that your life is always moving in the direction of your thought, your strongest thoughts. You know, this is good. It's good that our lives are moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. If our thoughts are good and our thoughts are positive. But if our thoughts are bad, if our thoughts are negative, then this is not a good thing. I also talked about how the brain works and how it responds in different situations. You know, I want to talk about two other functions of the brain that affects our thinking and our decision making. You know, one of the things that I've been doing here in this series is talking about not only the scripture to help us and to back up how we think and how we deal and battle with this negative thinking against positive thinking, but also been using science, meaning the brain and how it functions and how it operates to help us to understand. Because the reality is God created us in this physical body. He created us with this complex mind, this complex organ called a brain. And we need to understand. Sometimes we don't understand why we think the way we think. We don't understand why we do some of the things that we do. We don't understand why we make some of the decisions that we make. Well, it's not all because of, you know, different things that goes on in our lives, but it also has to do with the way our brain functions, because our brain will react to the different things that we experience. And so today we're going to talk about two functions of the brain that affects our thinking and our decision making. There's this one part in the brain. It is called if I mess the word up for y'all, those of you that are in the medical field, don't blame me, okay? But it's called the amygdala. I'm going to show you a picture of the amygdala, okay? The amygdala, it is a small part of the brain. It's a small part of the brain. It's the almond-shaped piece in the brain. It's right there in the bottom of the brain. This thing is like tiny. You know, it's not very big. As you can see in the picture here, it's not that very big in comparison to the rest of the brain. But this little thing right here has the ability to do so much in our thinking. It has the ability to do so much, even when it comes to our responses, that we have to be aware, or shall I say, it's important, it's helpful to be aware of what this little thing does, okay? So the amygdala is a small almond-shaped part in the bottom of the bottom center of the brain. It is that part of the brain that drives this thing that's called flight or fight. It's called flight or fight. And I'm going to explain that to you, okay? There are sometimes we're in situations where, you know, we have to make a decision. And that decision is either we're going to fight or we're going to flight. Flight meaning run, okay? It's also associated with fear and our stress responses. So whenever we're dealing with fear, this little piece on our brain, the amygdala, it kicks in. Whenever we're dealing with stress responses, this little thing, it kicks in. And it plays a strong, it also plays a strong role in memory. Okay, so this is very important for us to know and understand. All right, it's associated with fear, it's associated with stress, and it plays a very strong role in memory. All right. Remember in the beginning several lessons ago, I talked about a brain. I think it was lesson two. We talked about a brain and how our brain has this storage space called a cache, where it tends to remember different experiences and different events in our lives. And it remembers them so that the next time we have that same feeling, that same experience or situation, it'll bring up our response really quickly, like in a computer. A computer remembers your places that you go online. It remembers your activities, the different things that you go. So the next time you go to those websites, they'll use those apps or browsers or whatever, it's able to bring it up really fast, faster than it did the last time. So the more you do it, it comes up more, you know, faster and faster. Our brain does the same thing. It has this place like a cached memory. And so when we experience certain things in our lives, it brings it up or gives us a response really fast. We find ourselves responding sometimes faster than we actually thought about something. So this amygdala, it plays a very strong role in our memory and also helping to give us certain responses when we are dealing with stress or dealing with fear or other things. So I remember when I was in junior high school, and I'm sure some of you, maybe all of you, can relate to this on some level. And I had there was this bully in our school, and I'm not going to say the guy's name, but this guy was feared by many people. He was a big guy. He was tall, you know, real kind of, you know, for our age at the time, he was tall and muscular. You know, he looked like he should have been high school. He probably should have been high school. He probably, you know, flunked like three or four times. But anyway, he used to look like a man. He had hair, facial hair in junior high. You know, like, dude, like, come on, man, you don't belong here. But this dude was feared by everybody. You know, one time I saw him knock this dude out. He punched this dude in the face so hard, it knocked him clean out. My man was asleep. He was gone. You know, it was like that movie Friday when Devo knocked that dude out. It was one of those Friday punches, one of those Friday knockouts. Dude was gone, sleep, okay? When I saw that, instantly, I became fearful of this guy. At that moment, I decided that I didn't want none that spoke. I decided that, nope, this is not going to happen to me. This dude is never going to hit me like that. He's not going to knock me out. No, no, no. And so I decided what happened is that my amygdala kicked in. I saw this happen. I experienced this event. This was a situation that happened that I witnessed. My amygdala kicked in and it responded. It said, my amygdala was saying either fight or flight. Remember I said the amygdala is that small arming piece. It is associated with fight or flight. In other words, when you experience certain things, you're going to either fight or you're going to run. Okay. So my amygdala, it said to me, flight. It said to run. Okay. I didn't want none of that. I said, nope, this is not going to happen to me. So, but it also, this is something that it also did. It also remembered that experience and it associated with fear, causing me to make the decision to avoid him. So when I saw that, I was instantly afraid. I did not want none. I didn't want none of that to happen to me. So I made the decision to run. I didn't want anything to do with that. So every time I saw this guy, I did my best to avoid him. If I saw him walking down the hallway, I made sure I was walking straight. I wasn't looking at him. You know, I didn't want to make no eye contact with him. Sometimes if I was outside, if it was after school or something like that, you know, or that section in the school that we were at when this happened, every time I went to that area of the school, because it was a walkway in between two buildings. So it was outside. So sometimes when we're actually, it was the gym. So when you're going from the building to the gym, you got to go through this path outside to get to the gym. And every time I would walk that path, I would instantly think about him and think about like, whoa, wait a minute. Let me make sure he ain't around here because I don't want to get caught out here in between these buildings, you know, and get knocked out for whatever reason. But I did. I was like so like filled with fear that I did everything I could do to avoid him. My amygdala kicked in and it made the decision to run, to flight. There's another part in the brain, it's called the frontal cortex. And the frontal cortex, it plays a central role in our cognitive control functions and our dopamine. You guys, if you remember in the beginning of this series, I talked about dopamine. The dopamine, it is that natural chemical in our body that's released, and it's released when we're experiencing happiness. It's released when we're experiencing something good. It's released when we're experiencing something exciting. And it's referred to as that feel good drug. All right. That's why it's called dopamine. So it's that feel good drug that's on the inside of us. Okay. So the cognitive or the frontal cortex, it plays a central role in our cognitive controls and in dopamine. The frontal cortex is also that part of the brain that helps to control our behaviors. It helps to control our expressions, our decision-making, and our social behavior. In different situations where the amygdala responds because of fear, when the amygdala kicks in and we're in a situation, our amygdala kicks in and because of fear or because of stress, what happens is the frontal cortex, it will kick in and it will say, let's talk about this. So in a certain situation, there are certain situations that we experience in life, whether, you know, fear or stress or whatever, you know, something's going on there. And our amygdala kicks in and it's trying to make the decision to fight or to flight. Our frontal cortex will kick in and it will say, okay, let's talk about this. The frontal cortex is that place in the area where a lot of reasoning goes on. It's that place in the area where logic kicks in. And so it will ask the question, okay, we have a situation, all right? This is a real situation. Let's talk about this. So my amygdala, when I experienced this situation with this bully, it said to run. It said to avoid him, okay? My frontal cortex, after a while, my frontal cortex, it kicked in and it said to me, let's talk about this. It was like, Byron, listen, we need to have a conversation about this. You're afraid right now and you're doing everything you can do to avoid this guy. Let's talk about this. Is this actually logical? You know, it wanted to reason with me. It wanted to use logic concerning this situation. My frontal cortex was saying there has to be another way. There has to be a better way, Byron, to deal with this situation than the way that you're dealing with it. So when I allowed for my frontal cortex to reason with my amygdala, it said that this was a real situation, but my response was not logical. Okay. So our amygdala does not play off of fake situations. It play off of real, it kicks in on real situations. We have situations in our lives and those situations are real. And then if we're not careful, those situations will cause our mind to automatically go to the negative. But what we need to do is we need to pay attention and we need to be aware. And we also need to look at the positive and of a situation and not let the negative be so overpowering and driving us, because it will fill us with fear. It will fill us with stress. So I decided when my frontal cortex kicked in this situation with this bully, I decided that I was not going to run anymore. So, nope, I'm tired of running. I'm not going to do it anymore. Instead, I decided to run. I did decide to run, but I was running away from him. What I decided to do is to run to him instead of running away from him. You know, not to fight him. I wasn't running to him to fight him because, you know, like I said, I ain't want none of that smoke. But I ran to him to become his friend. There was something in me, my frontal cortex kicked in and said, Byron, okay, wait a minute. You are afraid. You are afraid of something right now that you probably don't need to be afraid of. So let's figure this out. Let's use some logic. What else can we do in this situation? And so I decide I'm going to run to him and I'm going to be his friend. And I figured this is what I figured out. I figured out that if I can become the friend or a friend of this bully, then he would have no reason to knock me out. I think that was a good reasoner right there. So I went to him. I didn't like go to him like, hey, man, can we be friends? No, I didn't do that, you know. But over a short period of time, I just started not avoiding him. And I started, you know, when I would see him in conversation, if I see him laughing, joking, playing at the gym, on the playground or something like that, I just made myself around him. I just made myself to be around him. And before I knew it, we actually became friends. And I remember, some of you guys might remember, well, yes, you will remember this, the Crystal Palace days. And I used to be in Crystal Palace every week. And, you know, for some of y'all to know, that was a time when Crystal Palace was like rough, hard, you know what I mean? And so I remember when I would go to Crystal Palace, if I wasn't on the floor skating, I had my skates tied. I would take the strings and tie them up together and I would have my skates hanging around my neck. So if anything broke off, I would take my skates off and I would use them suckers to swing to use as a weapon. But anyway, I was in the Crystal Palace one day. I had just got off of the skating rink floor. And when I got off the skating rink floor, I was kind of chilling, hanging out for a minute. All of a sudden, somebody grabbed me around my neck and lifted me up off of my feet. I'm talking, my skates are dangling like this right here off the floor. I mean, just totally grabbed my whole head and lifted me up off the, I was like, oh my gosh, what in the world is going on here? Somebody done got me, you know? And I was like, I'm in trouble. And cause I was completely defenseless at that time. And then as quickly as it happened, you know, he let me down and I turned around and it was this bully. And he saw me and he was so glad to see me. And we greet each other. We laughed, we joked, we hung out and everything like that. And he saw me there and he was just glad to see me. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, one of the things I thought about, man, I'm glad he's here, because some kick off, that's where I'm gonna be, right behind him. Anyway, call it what you want to call it, but
amen.
That bully, we became friends instead of me being so filled with fear. Instead of me being so filled with fear in his presence, you know, my frontal cortex kicked in. I said, Byron, just go be friends with him. Just be friendly to him. And, you know, that's something that's also scripture. The Bible says that if we show ourselves friendly, we will gain friends. And so that's what I did. I showed myself friendly to him and I gained a friend. You know, we all have experienced many situations in life that has caused us to develop, you know, certain responses to different situations. It may be because of hurt in your life that you've experienced. Maybe it's because of disappointment or failure. Maybe because of fear or trauma that you've experienced in your life, or even some misunderstandings that happen. Sometimes we have these misunderstandings, you know, no fault to maybe either one of us, but maybe just a breakdown of communication that causes these misunderstandings, and it causes for relationships to be broken. And then we have all of these negative stuff that's going on. You know, I had a good friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine, called me the other day, and he was talking to me about a breakup and another one of our friends, relate him and the two of them in their relationship. This thing has been going on for 25 years now, and they still are not friends. And it's like when I'm with one or I'm with the other one, every now and then that situation will come up, and I'm like, man, y'all grown, man. We was like 20 years old, 21 years old when that happened. And y'all, here we are 50. You in our 50s now, and y'all still like, come on, man, y'all got to let that go. And so something that thing that happened, you know, it caused them to have this situation. Now, every single time either one of them's name come up, it automatically goes to this negative place. And it's because of these experiences that we have in our life that so often clouds our minds with negativity. You know, I would say that these experiences have shaped our thinking on how we respond in these events. Without even knowing it, our minds run away to the worst case scenario, and we find ourselves getting filled with anxiety and fear over things that we may not even have control over. We may not be able to control a situation, but we can control how we think about it. I was not able to control that situation that I experienced with that bully, but I can control, I did have the ability to control how I thought about it. That's why the Apostle Paul said this. He said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We have to know that if it's on our minds, listen to this. If it's on our minds, it's in God's heart. And if we present these things to God, if we present it to God, our requests, if we present these situations to him with the request, we give him permission to work it out for us. Knowing this, we can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our what? And our minds. Knowing this, this will give us the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. His peace will guard our minds. We have to remember the power of prayer. The power of prayer, so often, that's one of the things that we don't do. We don't remember the power of prayer. If God can move mountains in our lives, and many of us have had big mountains in our lives, and if he can remove mountains, if he can heal the sick, and some of us are witnesses, personal witnesses of God healing us from ailments or from illnesses or from whatever it might be in our lives, we've actually seen other people heal from the power of prayer. If God can heal the sick, if he can transform lives, I know he transformed my life. I know he did. I told you about, I was talking to one of my childhood friends and the situation between him and another one of our friends. One of the things that he said to me that blew my mind, you know, I've always known this. When I moved from Memphis to Des Moines, God got me out of Memphis at the right time, because I was getting involved with some people that was really taking me to a place that I did not need to be. And so he told me, he said, man, it's a good thing that you got away from me when you did. And I said, what you mean by that? He said, because when you left, he said, things got bad. And he said, so it's a good thing that you left when you did. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm thinking about this. You know, I've been knowing this ever since, you know, I really started, you know, getting close to God back in the early 90s when I moved to Des Moines, that there has to be a reason for this happening to my life, because the way it happened, it just happened so fast and so quick. And the change was so fast. And I just knew that God got me out of Memphis for a reason. And so, you know, he transformed my life. If God can transform lives, then listen to this. If he can do all these things, if he can move mountains, if he can heal the sick, if he can transform lives, surely, surely he can give us a peace of mind. You know, prayer should never be the last resort of defense, but it should be the first line of offense. Father God, when we're dealing with situations, we need to pray, Father God, help me to go into this situation with a mind of peace and control my thinking to think positive about the victory that lies ahead, and not to be anxious about the negative or not to be anxious and think about the negative things that's not in my plans. Well, God said this. He said, before you said this, God said that he has plans to prosper me. He has plans to prosper us and not to do us harm. Plans to give us hope and plans to give us a future. We have to remember that we can go boldly to the throne of grace. James said this in the Bible. He says, we do not have because we do not ask. We don't pray, therefore we don't get help. We've all heard the saying before that a closed mouth don't get fed. So often we deal with situations and we don't even go to God and ask him for his help. We don't even go to him and ask him for his direction. All we do is we continue to allow ourselves to be filled with this anxiety and fear, and our minds get filled up with this negative thinking. You know, there's another saying, my pastor's wife, she used to say this to me. I remember one time we was in a staff meeting, and there were some different things that we were dealing with. And I actually started, you know, complaining about some things that was going on in our children's ministry and some things that was going on in our youth ministry, and how we needed more help and we needed more money in order to accomplish certain things that they were expecting of me. But I wasn't able to do those things because of the lack of resources. So I was saying, man, y'all want me to do this, but there's some things that I need in order to be successful doing this. And she said, well, Pastor Byron, how long has this been going on? I said, it's been going on for a while. I've been trying to tell y'all this forever. And she said, the squeakiest wheel gets the oil. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay. So she's saying, I need to speak up more. You need to speak up more. You're trying to handle and deal with all this by yourself, and you're getting filled with fear. You're getting filled with anxiety. You're being stressed out. You know, you're creating a negative situation that could easily be a positive situation. She said, the squeakiest wheel gets the oil. So I started squeaking, and the more I squeaked, the more oil I got. If you want God to give you a peace of mind, you have to ask for his help. Be a squeaky wheel. Be a squeaky wheel, and he will give you that oil, that fresh oil, that anointing oil that overflows. He said he poured all over you. And so be the squeaky wheel to get that oil. You know, as Christians, knowing the power of prayer, having faith in God, so we say, why is it that we so often let our minds run to this place of negative thinking? Science would say that we're letting our responses be hijacked by our amygdala and not allowing for our frontal cortex to participate. Our amygdala is real, it's very important, it's very functional. How it responds is real, is very necessary, but it also needs to work together. It needs to work together with the frontal cortex. We need to allow for our frontal cortex to participate, allow for reasoning to kick in, allow for logic to take place. So that's what science say, and that's real. And here's what scripture says. When we allow our minds, we believe in God, we have faith in God, so we say, we trust in God, so we say, but we keep going to this place of negativity. Scripture would say that's because we have a sinful mind. Oh, that hurts. What do you mean we have a sinful mind? You know, I don't consider myself to be a sinful person. What do you mean we have a sinful mind? Well, let me explain. We let the sin of worry cause us not to trust God. That's what we do. We let the sin of worry and cause us not to trust God. Essentially, we're saying that we don't trust God and that we don't believe that he cares enough about us to control our situation. We know that he can come through for us, but we don't believe that he will. Instead of letting our sinful nature control our thinking, we need to allow for the Holy Spirit to guide us into what? To guide us into the truth. We need to allow for the Holy Spirit to show us and to guide us into the truth. Remember the beginning. In the beginning, we talked about tearing down those strongholds that holds us back. One of the ways that we talked about tearing down those strongholds is to name the truth that will destroy that stronghold. Name the what? Name the truth that will destroy that stronghold. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit, one of his responsibilities is to guide us into all truth. His responsibility, one of them, is to guide us, to be a shepherd. It's to be a staff, to guide us into all truth. So we need to name the truth that will destroy the strongest those strongholds in our minds that are holding us back. It's the truth that will set us free. It's the truth that will set us free. Free from what? It will set us free from anxiety. It will set us free from fear. When our minds is not filled with anxiety and fear, then we can have peace of mind. Then we can have peace of mind. So often we're standing in the middle of a storm and we're trying our best to have this peace of mind. And we're trying to figure out how can we have peace of mind in the middle of the storm. And it sounds good when somebody preaches about it. It sounds good when somebody talks about it. But when we're actually in that situation, why is it so hard to have that peace of mind? It's because we're not going to God and asking him for his help. And we're not allowing for the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truth that can destroy the stronghold that's holding us back. When we do that, then we'll have peace of mind. So let's talk about peace for a minute. Talk about peace, and I'm going to bring this to a close. Peace. In the book of Genesis, the word peace was the word that was used as peace was shalom. You know, so often when we think about peace or we read in the scripture and we hear peace and we see peace, we read peace, we tend to go to this place of this feeling. You know, we want to feel peace. We tend to go to this place of the emotional side of peace. And peace is a feeling. Peace is very emotional. But I want you all to know this. That's not the peace that's being talked about here. That's not the peace that we need to have in our minds. I'm going to explain to you the peace that we need to have. In the book of Genesis, peace, the word shalom was used for peace. Shalom is a Hebrew word meaning harmony. This word shalom, it meant harmony with God. Harmony with God. When things are in harmony, they have a single continuous narrative. They are going in the same direction. They're on the same page. They are in sync with one another. When we are in harmony with God, we're on the same page with him. We are in sync with him. We have the same narrative with him. Jesus said this. He said, I don't say what the Father don't say, and I don't do what the Father don't do. He said, I say what the Father says, and I do what the Father does. That's what you call being in harmony. That's what you call having a single continuous narrative. That's what you call being on the same page, being in sync with one another. When Jesus said that, he said, I am in sync with the Father. Jesus is referred to in the Bible, or throughout the Bible, he's referred to as Shalom. He's referred to as the one who is in sync with the Father. He's referred to also as the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Harmony. So this makes sense because we understand that he came here to restore a broken relationship between us and who? Us and God. The relationship between us and God was broken because of sin entering into the hearts of man. And so that relationship was broken. And Jesus came here to restore that relationship. He wants to put us back in harmony with the Father. You know, he wants to put us back working together with one single continuous narrative, one on the same page with him and in sync with him. What Jesus has done, the purpose of his life, and what he continues to do for us is all designed to bring us back in harmony with the Father. Because of sin, the relationship between God and humans no longer is in sync. We're not on the same page. We're not in harmony with him. When we're in harmony with God, we have peace of mind. This is the peace that we're talking about. So when we are trying our best to seek peace and gain peace in our lives and have a peace of mind, we're not seeking an emotion. We're not seeking a feeling. We're seeking harmony. We're seeking to be on the same page with God. We're seeking to be in sync with him. And this negative thinking, it prevents us. It's a stronghold. It's a big wall that separates our ability to be able to think positive instead of negative, and it's been built one lie at a time. So in closing, this is what we need to remember. We need to remember that our minds is a battlefield between negative and positive thoughts, and most of life's battles are either won or lost in the mind. It's almost impossible to have a positive life if we have negative thinking. If you want to have a positive life, you have to have positive thinking. This is what we need to do to battle the strongholds of negative thinking in our mind. I said this in the very beginning, we need to identify the biggest stronghold of negative thinking in our lives that's holding us back. And once we identify the biggest strongholds that's holding us back, this biggest strongholds of negative thinking that's holding us back, we need to name the truth that can destroy it. Remember, every thought matters because your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. We need to train our brains to think positive and not to think negative. And one of the ways we talked about doing this is by meditating or by using brain game activities. There's all types of brain game activities out there to exercise our brain, to exercise the way we think. And by doing that, we can train our brains to think a certain way. By meditating, clearing our minds, and focusing on one single thing. So often our brains is so clogged and it gets so filled with so many things. We're trying to focus on a million things all at the same time, and that's confusion. I remember when I first moved to Des Moines, I found myself meditating. I mean, within the first couple of months, I found myself meditating. And I don't know where I picked it up from, but I found myself meditating a lot. And one of the things that happened to me when I moved to Des Moines is like God cleared my mind. He just took everything out. When I was living here in Memphis, my mind was filled with so much stuff that I couldn't even hear God's voice. I couldn't even understand anything about God, you know, because my mind was filled with so much stuff. But when I went to Des Moines, it's like he totally just stopped my life. And all of a sudden now my mind was clear. Now there was like nothing there. And because there was nothing there, it's like I was able to think about a lot of stuff. And somewhere I picked up on meditation and I started meditating. And when I started meditating, I was able to focus on one thing. And when I would focus on that one thing, it caused me to really put some thought into it. For the first time in my life, I started thinking, you know, man, where do I want to be in 5 years? I would think about it. I began to think about so many different things I had never thought about before. And then I found myself starting putting plans to those thoughts that I had in my mind. You know, another thing that we talked about is we need to be aware of our own cognitive biases. Because of experiences that we've experienced in our life, we've all developed these cognitive biases, which are a mistake in reasoning. You know, and we need to reframe our thinking toward the positive and not the negative. Remember, I talked about a picture, and you can focus on a small part of the picture, which doesn't give you the full reality of what's going on. And you can focus on the positive part of the picture, or you can focus on the negative part of the picture. You know, we need to reframe our thinking. Instead of focusing on a negative, maybe focus on the positive so that you can appreciate the whole picture. We talked about thanking God. Last week, we talked about this. Thank God for what didn't happen in a situation, and practice reframing or pre-framing our thinking. You know, there's situations that we deal with, and so often we're looking at the negative of those situations, but we need to be aware that we need to thank God for what didn't happen. Thank God for what didn't happen in the situation, and be thankful for what did happen. You pre-frame our thinking. When we know we're getting ready to go into a situation, we need to pre-frame our thinking and tell ourselves, talk to yourself and say, hey, this is what this situation is going to be. Hey, this is how it's going to end up. Hey, this is how I'm going to think about this situation in a positive way, as opposed to thinking negative about that situation and defeating yourself before it even happens. Causing yourself to experience failure before it even happens, you know. And then we also need to look to God's goodness in different situations. No matter how bad the situation is, there's always some good that can be found in it if you look for it. And lastly, we're going to not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in our hearts, present our requests to God. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee, 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.